Right, I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, the first 11 verses, and it's called A Letter to the Exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the Queen Mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the craftsmen, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasar, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rainy. That last verse, 29:11, was given to me when I shortly after I became Christian. I was in my teens, and I was given a few different scriptures, but that was one. It stayed with me all my life, because God promises that He'll give us a hope and a future. He plans to prosper us, not to harm us. The promises that God had given, and they were given to me at a very special time in my life. And you know, God has blessed me, blessed my family. We've had our difficulties, we've had our tragedies. Lots of things have happened, but God has still prospered us. He's not harmed us, and He's given us a hope and a future. So Jeremiah has always been one of those sort of characters that I've loved. A prophet called by God. So I did a little bit of background for you to start this message. First of all, Father God, we ask you to bless this message. We ask you that you will speak to us. And Father, just reach deep down inside of us and give us just that what we need today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Jeremiah prophesied in Judah during the reigns of Josiah and succeeding kings up to the Babylon exile. It was after Josiah's reign that Jeremiah was often in danger from political and religious leaders. No different to Jesus in his day. No different at all. But this is Old Testament, of course. They were angry. The religious and political leaders were angry because of his messages. The message that he was bringing, which we're going to look at in a moment, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. It was disrupting them from what they were believing themselves and what they wanted for the people. So through all of this, God protected him so he could continue to warn the wicked and comfort those who trusted in God. His prophetic ministry began around 626 BC, and Jeremiah was always aware of his calling to be a prophet and spoke the words given to him by God. You can read about Jeremiah's calling in chapter 1. You know, a calling, so important, isn't it? That we have a calling to follow our Lord Jesus. Jeremiah, he was the son of Hilkiah, a priest from the land of Benjamin in the village of Anathoth. The difficulties he encountered, as described in the book of Jeremiah and in Lamentations, have prompted scholars to refer to him as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was called by God to prophesy. The weeping prophet. There's something about tears, isn't there? When you love somebody, when there's difficulties, when your heart goes out to somebody, those tears do fall, don't they? Because of knowing the situation, you're trying to help somebody. And this is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. His heart was for the people. They're in captivity. He wanted them to be free. He trusted God. He looked to what God was saying to him so that he could prophesy God's words to those people around, even though it caused disruption amongst those that didn't like it. It is one of my favourite verses, I've got to say, Jeremiah 29:11. It's promises of God our Father to us, his children. Have you ever made a promise and broken the promise, broken your word? I can remember saying to my children when I was younger, you know, yeah, we'll go out later on. And then something happens and I didn't do it. I got back and I said, oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. We'll do it tomorrow. I promise you we'll do it tomorrow. And something else came in and I'm doing something else. And I had to learn as a father in my early years, you know, to not break my word. Because it doesn't help the children. It really doesn't. They need to trust in the word of their dad, their mum, as we need to trust in our God and our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus. What he says, we trust. Because we know that he will never break his word. What he says, he will keep. Every word. So that builds my trust. Like the song we just sang, I will trust in you alone. And his endless mercies follows us all the days of our lives. You know, when David wrote that in the 23rd Psalm, the very last verse, he meant that all my life, God has been with me. And one day, I will be with him in heaven. For his endless mercies follows me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he promises, and he keeps his word and never lets us down. We're forgiven. God is the answer to any guilt you might feel. We're never alone. God is the answer to when the times, at times when we're fearful. He's there for us. We're never alone. Whatever we feel, whatever difficulties we may face, we must always place our trust in God's promises. In my church, a beautiful lady, Sheila, has just recently died. Got the privilege of conducting a service in a few weeks' time. I've been friends with her for over 20 years. Beautiful lady. She never found fault in anyone. She always trusted God. She had lots of difficulties in her life, health-wise, open heart surgery, various blood pressure problems, in and out of hospital so many times, praising God, trusting God always. Always a smile on her face. Always telling the nurses how much God loved her. She was a beautiful lady. Not only on the outside, also on the inside. And that's so important, isn't it? I'm going to stand there on that day and I'm going to tell about the race that she ran. I'm going to talk about, you know, fighting the good fight. Just like Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness that is awarded to me, not only to me, but also to all those that have longed for his appearing. I'm going to quote that verse because her race was run. She ran and she conquered every time. She fought back until the final time. And this is the beautiful thing for my lovely Sheila. She went into a hospital. She had to have different things done, different tests and whatever. And they said, you'll be able to go home tomorrow morning. She had a lunch. She got into bed. She went to sleep. Her heart stopped and she didn't wake up. What a beautiful way to fight your last battle. A beautiful thing. But you know, I take strength in the fact I'm going to see her again one day. It's like my old mum. It's like all my other people that I loved that have passed and gone before. They're going to be at the gates of heaven and I'm going to run. I'm not walking, I'm running to go and see them. It's a promise that God gives us and I hold on to those promises. I'm going to live my life as best I can for my Lord Jesus. And when I stand before the throne, before that red book, well, this is your life book, the Lamb's book of life, and he opens it up, I want my name in there, and I know it is, and he's going to say, yeah, John Kennett, you're there. Enjoy it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Getting back to Jeremiah. We'll never understand verse 11 unless we look at something about its background. It was written to the Jewish exiles in Babylon who had been forcibly removed from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Being taken over. We can relate that to Russia and Ukraine, can't we? You know, Russia moving into Ukraine, taking over that country. Those people are having to go into a form of exile, leaving the country, going somewhere else. Not being taken as slaves, as in this case. But they're certainly having to leave their country. We pray so much, and we pray this morning, that peace will reign in that country. Putin will have a turnaround. He'll see the wrong. We've had it before with so many dictators, haven't we? So many. Causes so much pain, so much suffering. Communities destroyed. Families destroyed. Lives lost. Unnecessary lives lost. A woman walking across the road with a bag of shopping, going to a home and get shot. Why? Why is that so important to taking over a country? We must pray for peace always. So here we have the Jewish exiles, all because of Nebuchadnezzar, they've been uprooted, and everything that they held dear is gone. They now live hundreds of miles away from home in the heart of a worldly, pagan, idol worship place. And all their hopes and their dreams have been smashed. 29:11 says, I give you hope and a future. At this point, their hopes and their dreams were smashed. They must have wondered, how could God have let this happen? Do we ever say that in our own lives? When I meet with people, and they've often said, you know, why has this happened to me? Why has my loved one died? Why so young? You know, if we are truly his people, we would often say, how did we end up like this? If we're truly his people, we shouldn't have those questions. We should know that God's in control. But people sometimes do, don't they? They say, if we are God's people, why is this happening? And they often wonder if God had forgotten them too. Then if you remember the Watoto children come over from Uganda, have you ever seen them? They're a children's African choir. And they sing and perform in their national dress. And they have the drums and they sing their songs. And I will never forget seeing them singing one particular song. It's called, I Am Not Forgotten, God Knows My Name. A beautiful song with a real testimony in it. I'm not forgotten. We're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. God knows your name. Matter of fact, it says that he knows every hair on their head. Now, some of us might not have very much on their head. But he knows every hair of our head. That's how much he knows us. I can tell you a story. When I was 2, my mum and dad separated. And they didn't divorce until sort of 12 or more years after. And it was about 30 years before I, through my sister, who wanted to meet up with my dad again. A bit like a long-lost family. And we went to meet him in Kent. He agreed to see us. And for the first time in all those years, in 30 years, I met my dad. And first thing I looked at was his hair. I thought, I hope he's got a good head of hair. I was saving the car driving along, because then I might not go bald. I don't know. And vain, be awesome. And vain, honestly. Look in the mirror and go, yeah. Looking good today. Do you know, I look in the mirror and I want to see Jesus though, don't you? I want to see the love of Jesus. I want people to look at me and see the love of Jesus. I want to see them to see the love of Jesus in my eyes, in your eyes, and all of our eyes. And I want to see the love of Jesus. And the way we speak, the way we behave. Just that hand sometimes. To shake someone's hand, put the hand on the shoulder, it shows the love you have, which comes from our Lord. God never forgets his children. He knows your face. He understands your pain. And he recalls every tear that you shed. Now, I've got a little thing on my office wall. It's tears in a bottle. It says that Jesus bottles our tears. And I could only find it in the New Living Testament version. And it's in Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9. It says this: "You have collected all my tears in your bottle, and you have recorded each one in your book." Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Collected tears in a bottle. It doesn't say it anywhere. I only found it in the New Living Testament. Other versions say it a little bit different than that. The mention of the bottle is something about that. Collecting tears in the bottle. Just imagine God has our tears. You know, all the wrongs we've done. Everything, the tears that we've cried. You know, that verse of 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a hope and a future. Not to harm you, but to prosper you." A little bit wrong way around, but that's what he's saying. It must have been so encouraging for the Jews at that time. They're in captivity in Babylon. They don't know what's going to happen or how long it would last. But that verse is meaning that in Babylon, it's never going to be forever. It's saying it's 70 years, and that's a long time, isn't it? You know, I'd like to live for another 70 years. I really would. I'd never go. I'd love to. But 70 years, a long time. Some of those folks are going to die. The children are going to be at that place in 70 years from then. And God is saying to them, "You think I've forgotten you? You're here because you forgot me. And it's true, I'm punishing you for your sin. But my punishment doesn't diminish. My affection for you remains. And you are forever in my thoughts. You are still my people. I've not forgotten you." What a promise to receive from God. What a promise. When we're feeling like he's gone. When we're feeling like he's not there. "Where are you, Lord? I can't hear you anymore. I can't see the focus anymore. I can't see you." He's still there. He's not forgotten you. A bit like the footprints, isn't it? Carrying you and you see one set of footprints. "Where are you, Lord? You promised. You promised you'd be with me. I'm carrying you. I'm still here." God was still there for the people. That Jeremiah was letting them know that God's still there. He hasn't forgotten. I find great comfort, to be honest, knowing that God knows what he's doing. And he wants the best for us always. I take strength in that. God's plans for us are always good. Always. Remember that this verse was given to the Jews to give them hope that their time in Babylon wouldn't last forever. It's not a get out of jail free card. I like Monopoly. I don't know if you play Monopoly. I like Monopoly, and I like to get as much money as I can and all the properties and everything like that. And I like the get out of jail free card, because 9 times out of 10 I always end up in jail. It's not a get out of jail free card. God gives us a guarantee every time. I love Ephesians chapter 1. I'll probably say it every time I preach, I think, nearly. Because it reminds me in Ephesians chapter 1 when God says, "Before the world began, you were chosen." God chose us before the world began. That amazes me. That shows me that God is there. Thinking, right, I'm now going to create the world. And I'm going to have John Kennett there. And I'm going to have Mike and Rosie Kemp. And I'm going to have that one. And I'm going to have that one. I'm going to have that one and that one. They're going to be there. chosen. Isn't that beautiful? To know that you're chosen. Very special. So how does Jeremiah 29:11 help us? Even when we sin, God does not think evil towards us, because that goes against his nature. He doesn't think evil. He thinks of, he treats us with love and kindness. When the devil whispers in your ear, and he's done that with me a few times, you're no good. You often look at it as a little thing sitting on your shoulder, doesn't it? People relate to that, don't they? I'll dust him off. I am good. You know why I'm good? Because God made me good. God made me the person I am. That's the good that I'm talking about. Not just that when Mum patted me on the head, saying you're a good boy. That's why I'm not too tall. Kept patting me on the head all the time. It's not the pat on the head. It's not the good. It's the fact that God made us who we are. There's a little bit at the end of that story about that piano player that I forgot to tell you, which I've just been reminded of. Is that she said this as well at the end. Because of God healing her, she actually said, what we are is a gift from God. But it's what we become is our gift to him. What we are is God's gift to us. And it is a gift, isn't it? So God is it gives us the gift of life and all that we have. But what we become, what we do with it, is our gift to give back to God. God will always love us, always. We've got to be reminded as well of God's grace. Because that's what we have in our Lord Jesus. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Interpreted as God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that, don't you? I love that. God's riches at Christ's expense. God intends to give us a hope and a future. Seeing in this light, Jeremiah becomes a great comfort, especially when we go through hard times. And that's what these people were going through. And he was bringing them comfort. He was giving them hope. He was getting them to direct themselves and guide themselves toward looking to a future. 70 years it's going to be over. 70 years. In between, praise God. Give him the glory he deserves. Look towards that day. It teaches us, this verse, that God's always thinking of us. His thoughts are always towards us. That when his purposes have been completed, he will bring our troubles to their appointed end. Just like my dear Sheila. Her troubles came to an end. He still prays to that very last breath. And you know, there's an interesting thing. I went into the hospital where she died. And I said that she died about an hour before or so. And I got to her bedside. She was peaceful. Sometimes you see somebody and they look like an empty shell, you know, as a body. There's nothing there. She still looked beautiful. She had that peace. It comes from God in her. Peace comes from God. A beautiful thing. It teaches that God is always there for us. Who knows what's going to happen this week? Who knows? Did I know there'd be a shooting last Friday? Did I know that? Of course not. We enjoyed, we came home, and we heard the news. We just don't know what's going to happen at any time in our lives. All we can do is trust God and walk in his Spirit, walk in the presence of God. Walk in the light was a song, wasn't it? Walk in the light of God. Our God is faithful. He'll always keep his promises. And when you look back over your life with all its twists and turns, and when you've got to the end of your road, it wasn't always easy, was it? But when it's like that, I will still, and I hope you will still be able to say, at the end of that day, that Jesus led us all the way. He was the one. He's the reason why we got to our last destination. Life's full of destinations. I remember God speaking to me about a train journey. You go on a train journey and it stops at so many different stops, doesn't it, before you get to your destination. That's life, isn't it? We've got lots of different places that we have to go to. God's going to guide us and lead us all in different places. And, you know, different circumstances, situations, opportunities to speak to people about and the love of Jesus. And then we get to our final destination. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. Paul says, my lovely Sheila, quoted it just now, I've fought the good fight, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, and now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness that is not only for me, but awarded to all those that have longed. And that's the key there, isn't it? Long, and you long for his appearing. I want to close with a song for you. What a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? And that's been lost for so many years. And I've got to say, my mum loved that hymn. When my mum gave her life to Jesus, she stayed in her church for 40 years, and that was one she loved. And I came across it, and I thought, it's so beautiful to think about. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we are where we are today. Because of the love that he showed to us, when we ask for that forgiveness of all those wrongs that we've done, the forgiveness came. And how beautiful it is that we can say we belong to our Lord Jesus and he belongs to us. And one day, we'll keep hoping and trusting till we reach the golden strand of the crystal river. Remember on the singer on the story? When we go just beyond the river and into that place of glory. May God bless us this morning. And may we take his words with us. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that promise that we can hold on to. One day we will see him face to face and all those that's gone before.